Wow, these really are tough times. Who would have thought 5 weeks ago life would have been normal? And now we find ourselves in this crazy situation. We're staring at a nationwide lockdown, millions in danger of losing work, schools closing, businesses going under, airlines grounded. And the virus is still spreading, except in places like Zimbabwe, where for the last 3 or 4 weeks, there's only been 3 infections. But you know, the obvious tragedy of that kind of situation is that they don't have the resources to test like we do, like here in the developed world. And that's the tragedy of this virus. No one really yet knows where's this thing going. What is actually going to happen? How many more people are going to get sick and even die? And we're hearing right here, and I'm sure you are too, of the hardships people we know are going through. Doctors and nurses, we're hearing stories of doctors and nurses kissing their children goodbye because they're moving into hospitals and staying there. Or FIFO workers not being able to come home, forced to stay away. And who can imagine the elderly? I mean, who can imagine what it must be like for elderly folk or folk with complications and other sicknesses? They must be afraid and susceptible, not able to go out and shop. Now, with all that in mind, and I don't need to paint you a picture. Everyone knows we're reading our news feeds, we're watching TV. We know how tough things are. With all that in mind, is there any advantage to being a Christian? Is there any advantage at all? We know the virus doesn't discriminate. Prince Charles, you would have heard yesterday or the day before, depending when you're watching this, Prince Charles himself has been tested positive for COVID-19. So the virus doesn't discriminate. Does the virus discriminate against Christians? Are Christians less likely to get the COVID-19 sickness, the virus? No, not at all. Not at all. It is a bizarre and unbiblical claim that Christianity protects you from illness. It doesn't. If you look at the figures of the COVID-19 infections around the world, and even of those who die, there is no research, and there are no figures anywhere at all that suggest Christians are immune or less likely to get infected than anybody else. No doubt some weird stories are going to start spreading soon. But the fact is, and the truth is, Christians will get infected, they will get sick and die just like everybody else. And I think, and I pray, that maybe that will be just one of the good things that will come out of this pandemic. False Christianities will be exposed, I hope. The only reason that fake Christianity has had a chance to take root is because we've had it so good for so long. The normal situation for centuries is that diseases have swept through society, killing Christian and non-Christian alike. We've lived for generations, 2,000 years, Christians have lived through horrible plagues where people are killed and even those that survive are scarred for life. But because we've had it so good for so long, fake Christianity has taken root. A Christianity of health, wealth, and prosperity. The good times, particularly in the West, and the fabulous wealth of the West has given rise, it's been the breeding ground for a fake Christianity. And the idea is that Christianity is a way to avoid suffering. Well, I want to tell you clearly, and I think this virus might expose it, Christianity is not a way to avoid suffering on earth. So, why would anyone want to be a Christian? What's the point then of being a Christian? What advantage has the Christian got? And the answer is more than you can imagine. More than you can imagine. The benefits of being a Christian are literally out of this world. They are more than you could ask or imagine. Our passage today, as we're working through the book of Romans, is Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, which I'll read shortly. And in this passage, it is going to show us some of the incredible benefits of being a Christian. And they are truly extraordinary. So, if you're a Christian and you're sitting at home watching this and you're stressing about the world and your life feels like it's unraveling fast, like your last roll of toilet paper, just stop. Stop. Take a breath. Stop and take stock. Stop looking at all the temporary things in the world, things you were going to lose anyway, one day, and focus on what can never be taken away from you. You need to decide, and I need to decide, we need to decide, which world are we going to live for? No human being can live for more than one world. Which world are you going to live for? And if you're not yet a Christian and not yet a follower of Jesus, what we're going to see today in our passage is this passage will show you what makes Christians tick. This passage will show you the surprising thing of how Christians rejoice even in tragedy. We still suffer, but even in our suffering, we rejoice. Romans chapter 5, 1 to 11. Let's look at it together. I'm going to read it. I'll pray and we'll try and think about it together. So Romans chapter 5, reading from verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We'll just go that far today. All right, so what are the benefits that Christians have? Oh, and by the way, yes, so I'm been talking about Christians. What is a Christian? A Christian is those who are righteous by faith. Have a look there with me at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. What is a Christian? It is someone who has been justified by faith, someone whom God has declared righteous because of their faith. In other words, a Christian is defined by our standing before God. That's what makes a Christian. A Christian is someone who has a particular standing before God. God has declared them righteous. In our journey through the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1 to chapter 3, we've seen no one is righteous. No one is righteous, not one. In chapter 3, we see how God is righteous to make the unrighteous righteous. God is righteous to make the unrighteous righteous, to declare them righteous. And that, of course, is because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In chapter 4, we saw that this is not a new idea. This is what the Old Testament has always pointed towards. In chapter 4, we looked at Abraham, and we saw that Abraham himself was declared righteous by God because of his faith. So a Christian is someone whom God declares righteous because they trust and they rely on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, if that's you, You're relying on the finished work of Jesus Christ. God has declared you righteous on that basis. There are so many benefits and advantages that come to that position. And here's some of them. And this is Romans chapter 5, 1 to 11. Those who are righteous by faith have, look at this list, peace with God, access by faith into grace, joy in hope, purpose in suffering, assurance of being loved, and friendship with God forever. What a list. Now, what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks is we're going to work through that list two at a time, carefully looking at these verses, taking stock in the midst of this crazy thing going on, taking stock of what have I got as a Christian? What have I got? I'll show it to you. First one we're going to look at is peace with God. So have a look at verse 1 with me. Therefore, since we've been declared righteous by faith, what's the first thing we have? We have peace with God. The first great advantage to being a Christian is peace with God. Now, what an amazing idea that is. That the creator of the universe, the God who made everything, is happy with you, pleased with you. I don't know who you want to make happy. I'm not sure who you want to please. But a Christian is someone who pleases God. God is happy with them. They're friends with God. God and me, we're simpatico. We're friends. We're at peace. I can safely say as a Christian, me and God, we're okay. Or God looks down from his throne of glory. He looks at a Christian and he says, me and Dwayne, we're good. We're okay. Now, that might not grab you, but you've got to put it in its context. This is actually shocking in its context. Because in the book of Romans, we started at Romans chapter 1 verse 18, where we're told the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all our unrighteousness. The book of Romans begins with the fact that we and God are not okay. That God is angry with us. His wrath is pouring down on us. So for us to now say we have peace with God, wow, that is a massive turnaround. The Bible teaches God was righteous. Romans, God was righteous to be angry at our unrighteousness. And judgment day, the day when he will pour out that righteous anger, was getting closer and closer. And there's nothing we can do to stop it. You can't stop the clock. You can't hold the sun down. Imagine during this coronavirus epidemic, imagine if we could say to the day tomorrow, sun, stay down, don't rise. We just need a bit more time. No one can do that. Judgment day will dawn. There's nothing we can do about it. And then we face to face with an angry God. But now, because we've been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God. And the threat has passed. And when judgment day does dawn, and it still will, you know, the COVID-19 epidemic has not slowed down time. The days still come as fast as ever. And when judgment day does come, here's what will happen. You will find that your friend is seated on the throne because you're at peace with God. All because you trusted Jesus and therefore have his righteousness. You know, I look back to my days at school. I don't know why I did it to myself. I put myself through such misery at school. And I look back, I don't know why I did it. You know, you remember the days when you had to go to school and in that class you had to have done your homework. I remember it was a maths class. And I remember I sat at the back where all the cool kids are because I was a wannabe. And there I'm sitting at the back and I've got my books on my desk and, well, they're empty. I haven't done my homework. And then the math teacher would start walking down the aisle. And there's desks and kids sitting at their desk. And she's walking down the aisle, checking each one to see if they've done their homework. And I'm sitting at the back there, and there's nothing on the page. Nothing at all. And I tell you what, it's like judgment on two legs walking down that aisle. It's coming towards you, and you are terrified. You're looking at the clock, and you're wishing it'll go faster so the bell will ring, and it's not going to happen. Judgment Day on two legs is approaching, and you are absolutely terrified. I remember the fear, just sitting there, and there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. You're busted. You are stuck. I don't know why I put myself through it. But imagine if I begged someone else to do my homework for me. Now, this is completely hypothetical. It's just hypothetical. And imagine if someone else had done my homework and put my name on it. And I'm sitting there, the teacher's warned me many times. I've got no excuses. And as she draws near, now my homework is done because someone else did it for me. Perfectly hypothetical. As I'm sitting there, imagine the feeling. I'm sitting there at peace, totally at peace. When she gets up there, looks back down, she's going to see all my work is I've done what I needed to do. I am at peace. Me and the teacher, we're okay. Christians are at peace with God. Jesus did our work for us. Jesus did everything God wanted us to do. Jesus did for us. And as Judgment Day draws near, we've got nothing to fear. We are confident we will meet with God's approval. Just like the teacher will look at my work and say, good work, Dwayne, good job. So God will look at me and say, good work, Dwayne, good job. Now, not for a moment. Don't think I'm fooling God, we're not fooling, to come to think of it, I don't think the teacher was fooled either, but it was a hypothetical situation, so never mind that. But God looks down at me. God doesn't go, well, I'm fooled, Dwayne did it. No, it is God who loves us and who sent Jesus to be our substitute and to do what we couldn't do. COVID-19 has exposed how scared people are of dying. The fear of death, you watch it. People will go to any lengths. We're prepared to sacrifice the economy. We'll do anything to avoid the small possibility of dying. But Christians have no such fear. We are at peace with the one who controls life and death. You should choose your friends carefully, but you should choose your enemies even more carefully. Don't let God be your enemy. Turn God into your friend. And when we are righteous by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. It is the first and great benefit of the Christian. But notice in verse 5, we have justified by faith. We have peace with God. Look at this. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a very particular channel, a very distinct avenue by which we have peace with God. It is found nowhere else but through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a reason for this. And that's because peace is not just a cessation of hostilities. It's not just that. It's way more than that. In fact, the word peace is actually a very special Bible word. It's a rich word. It comes from the Old Testament, and it comes from the word shalom, which you might know. But the word shalom has got a rich history. It means all the blessings that flow from being in a right relationship with God. When you marry someone, there's a whole lot of benefits you get. If you marry someone rich, you are suddenly rich from that moment on. A whole lot of blessings and benefits flow to you when you get married. When you're in a right relationship with God, a covenant relationship, there's a whole lot of benefits that flow from that. And the word shalom captures those benefits. I guess you could just call it human flourishing. You flourish when you're in a right relationship with God. Now, the Old Testament promised shalom. The Old Testament promised that shalom would be ushered in by the Messiah. It is the Messiah or the Christ who would bring in God's peace. The world is in a state of unpeace, of turmoil. The Bible has got this picture. The Bible says that there is no peace for the wicked. The Bible describes the wicked and those who are not in a right relationship with God as being like the ocean, tossed and turned and waves and churning, frothing and foaming. But God promised the Messiah, and the Messiah is called the Prince of Peace. And he will usher in an age of shalom, peace between people and God. And that's what Jesus has done. Jesus has done it. Look at verse 1. We have peace with God. Not we will have, or we hope to have, or one day, but we have. It is a present blessing for the Christian that we are at peace with God. Now, you might be sitting here saying, well, that sounds easy. It almost sounds too easy. I believe in Jesus and I trust his finished work on the cross, and suddenly, ta-da, me and God are at peace. It sounds a little bit easy. Well, it wasn't easy for Jesus. It wasn't easy for him at all. Jesus did it extremely tough to win our peace with God. He went to the cross. He faced God's anger and judgment. He absorbed God's wrath so that we could be at peace with God. And he won our peace with God. So, let the world panic and stress. For us Christians, this world is not our primary concern. We love the world and we care for it. And we do what we can to reach out to people and care for them. But our primary concern is that we are friends with God. And when we trust in Jesus, we have peace with God. It's the first great blessing. And nothing can change that. Nothing can change the peace we have with God. Oh, yeah, hold on. How can I be at peace with God when I keep letting him down? How does that work? Thank you for that excellent question. Thanks for asking that. That's our second benefit of being a Christian. Those who are righteous by faith have peace with God. Secondly, we have access by faith into grace. That's the second great benefit of being a Christian. Look again at verse 2. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Once again, look at the language. Through him, so once again, it goes through Jesus Christ. The way to access grace is through Jesus Christ. There's no grace outside of Jesus Christ. Through him, we have, look at the language, obtained. Once again, it's present. It's a blessing we now have. It's not future, it's now. We now have this blessing. What is the blessing? We obtained access by faith into this. What's the blessing? Grace. Okay, there is that word which we love to pause and think about every single time. We have access to grace. Now, what is grace? We're going through a pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic. I think that I need an antibiotic more than I need grace, or a vaccination more than I need grace. No, you need grace more than anything else. What is this precious thing called grace? Well, grace is more than just forgiveness. One of the ways you can think about it, Forgiveness is when you don't get what you deserve. That's forgiveness. You're not going to get what you deserve. But grace is better. Grace is when you actually get what you don't deserve. Grace is when God lavishes on you what you don't deserve and what you haven't earned. Grace, in fact, is not a thing. You can't say, oh, look, there's grace. Grace is not a thing. Grace is tied to a person. It's a disposition of a person to another. And Jesus Christ is that person. Grace is bound up in who Jesus is. Here's the thing. God is determined to do you good. God will do whatever it takes to see you happy in heaven forever. That's grace. Grace is God orchestrates everything, even the virus. God orchestrates everything for your eternal good. That's grace. And the mechanics of grace is this. How it works is that God the Holy Spirit takes you and unites you to Jesus. He literally unites you to Jesus. There you are, and there is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit unites you. He glues you together. Then what happens is God rewards Jesus Christ for his perfect obedience. But because you're stuck to Jesus, you get all the reward too. Everything Jesus gets, you get. Every blessing Jesus has, you have. Is Jesus the heir of the world? You too. The Bible says you're co-heirs with him. Is Jesus basking in God's love and acceptance and approval? You too. John 17 says the love which the Father has for the Son is also on the Christian as well. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us all things are yours and you are Christ's and Christ is God's. Jesus is God's full package for you. And it's grace. It's all grace. And it's all in the person of Jesus. Now, the only way to access that grace is by faith. It's by faith in Jesus. It's by faith in him and his finished work. As we've said before, faith grasps what grace offers. You know, my dad, at some point in time, my dad lived in America in Washington, D.C., in the capital. And he was coaching a rugby club, but that's another story. But one of the club presidents became a good friend of my dad, and he was a senator in America. And so one day he said to my dad, would you like a tour of the White House? You know, unbelievable. Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, I would too, anyway. So he took my dad on a tour of the White House, and he actually took my dad into the Oval Office. Yep, you watch TV and you see Trump, and my dad's been in there, been in the Oval Office. Now, how many people do you think have access to that? How many people have access to the Oval Office? I mean, really very, very few. But as my dad went through the White House, and what happened was the senator would say this, oh, he's with me. He's with me. He's with me. Wherever the senator went, my dad could go. He's with me. Now, when you trust in Jesus, Jesus enters, not the Oval Office. Jesus enters the infinitely greater, higher, more powerful throne room of grace. Jesus Christ walks up to God. And there you are. And Jesus says, he's with me. He's with me. That's what access to grace by faith means. We get to go to the throne room of grace as with Jesus being united to him. In fact, Daniel 7 has got that. Well, look, I don't have time, but if you go look at Daniel 7, there's a picture of it. We have access by faith into grace. And then, What happens after that? And then, is it all up to us after that? So you believe in the finished work of Jesus and you have access to grace by faith. And then what? Well, then you have to do it all yourself. After that, it's up to you. Jesus helps you. Jesus is like a starter motor. You know, he starts you up, gets you going, and then you have to keep going by yourself. You know, you have to finish what Jesus began. You have to finish what he began. Jesus kind of like pulls you up on your feet, and then he says, all right, now it's up to you, you know, walk the rest of the way. And the answer is no. No, no, no. It's grace upon grace upon grace. Grace in the beginning, grace in the journey, grace at the end. Grace all the way. Look at verse 2. We have also obtained access by faith into this grace. Look at this phrase. In which we stand. We're always in there. It's the grace in which we stand. We stay there. There's nowhere else to go. We live on grace. We make our stand on grace. We build our life, our identity on grace. You know, the tragedy of the COVID-19 pandemic is that people are losing their work, and who knows how many. You know, if you're not yet a Christian and you lose your work, it's not just money, it's a traumatic, it's a time of who am I? You know, but for the Christian, our identity was never built on that. Our identity is built on grace. And nothing can take grace away from us. Every day we wake up, who am I? I am a creature at peace with God and under his grace. And I have access to that grace every single day. And it's not just every day, it's the future as well. Grace is the platform on which we stand, as it says, even on judgment day. On judgment day, every single human being will make their final stand. Every human being will make their final stand. You can stand, take your stand against COVID-19. Please do. But on the great day of judgment, every human being will take their final stand against the God of the universe. I mean, just think, there is God on his throne in all his holiness, in all his righteousness, in all his glory. And there we are standing. We've made a platform for ourselves. Beneath us is this, as Romans teaches us, as the whole Bible teaches us, is this ocean of God's righteous anger. Righteous anger. There is this ocean of God's righteous anger, and we're standing on a platform. What are we standing on? Well, I don't know. Some people are standing on their religious performance, but it's flimsy, and it'll give way, and under the weight of sin, it'll sink, and they will fall into God's wrath. And some will stand on a platform of good works, and they'll think that my good works kind of like outweigh my bad works, you know, whatever. But really, that whole thing is full of holes. It's going to sink. They're going to be lost. They will drown. But Christians stand on grace. We stand on a platform of grace. It's rock solid, steady. It's unmovable. You know why? Because we didn't build it. It's built by God. God built that platform. How did he do it? You know this as we're going through the book of Romans. Because Jesus Christ was hoisted on a platform. Jesus Christ went up on that cross. He hung on that man-made thing, the cross. He died in our place. He took our judgment. And now that cross is the platform. It's been turned into a platform upon which we stand. That's the grace that we stand on. There's an old hymn, and it's so right. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There are two great advantages to being a Christian. right here in the first two verses of this incredible chapter. Those who are righteous by faith, we will have peace with God. We have peace with God. We will have access by faith into grace. We have access by faith into grace. Many Christians will get COVID-19. No question. Some Christians will even die of the coronavirus. But even though our bodies suffer in this world, our inmost being just explodes in joy. And the reason is, these things can't be taken away from us. Peace with God, access to grace. What virus can take those things away from us? And not even just for this world, but for the world to come, forever. These things are ours, now, tomorrow, forever. A virus can take your body away. Nothing can touch these things. See, here's the thing. If you're not yet a Christian, you are exposed to the virus. Here's why. Because the virus might well take away everything you love. For the Christian, that's impossible. Nothing can take away from us the love we have from God, peace with Him, grace in which we stand. Well, I hope you think about these things. I'm going to pray for you now, and I pray that you're going to focus on those things. If you want to get in touch with us online, we have a connect form. If you go to our webpage, there's a little tab that says I'm new. You click on that drop down, and there is an online connect form, and you can ask us questions and get in touch with us. But in the meantime, I'm going to pray and thank God for the massive advantage there is to being a Christian. Let me pray. Father, in these times where so much is being taken away from us, please will you use it to the advantage of your people. May Christians see what we have that can never be taken away. Just the two things we've looked at this morning. Peace with you, that we've won your favor. And secondly, access to grace in which we stand. Father, help Christians to go over and over these blessings. Help us to focus not on the temporary things that we might be losing, but on the eternal things which we have gained, all because of what Jesus Christ did for us. For it's in His name we pray, giving thanks in all circumstances for your kindness. Amen.